TMI Project is a nonprofit organization that offers memoir writing workshops that culminate in stage-true storytelling performances, sort of like the moth meeting the vagina monologues. Their slogan is changing the world one story at a time. This past year, after receiving a grant, they launched the TMI Project Community Outreach Initiative, which brings the TMI workshop to underserved populations. While doing that, they've also continued regular workshops and shows. On March 11th, they'll begin their first For the Page 9-week workshop. It's an essay writing class and will culminate in a small collection of essays that will be for sale and a reading at an area bookstore. They'll have their third women's retreat workshop at Lifebridge Sanctuary in Rosendale, March 15th through the 17th. So there is a lot going on, as you can tell. Is it Eva?
Eva, yeah.
And it's?
Tenuto.
Tenuto.
Eva Tenuto.
I practice everything but that.
That's okay.
Eva Tenuto, Executive Director of TMI, thank you very much for being with us. And it's Sari?
Like Larry, exactly.
Sari Botten.
Good one.
Thank you very much. Editorial Director, Editorial Director at TMI, and it's a pleasure to have you both with us. Thank you very, very much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
So give us a sense of ultimately, with all of this going on, has this grown more than you ever imagined?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we started TMI Project in my living room after directing the vagina monologues a couple of times for a fundraiser for a local organization. The third year, they wanted us to do it again, and we asked if we could tell our own stories this time instead of the stories of other people. And we just got together and wrote our own life stories, and that was how TMI was born. But I never expected that we would even do it again necessarily, or that it would turn into this community outreach initiative or any of the things that we've got going on. But it has just snowballed, and I'm running after the snowball and keeping up.
But you have help, obviously, in the running after the snowball.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's funny. In the car on the way here, Eva said, "We've had so many requests for community outreach, I can't even remember which ones to tell you." It's been really amazing.
So even when you look at the success, what does that tell you about us? That not only that we have this want to tell our stories, but we also have a desire to hear them.
I think that we started this project at a time when people are not talking to each other that much anymore. You know, with the increase in social media and right. texting and all of the different ways that we've been able to communicate for convenience, the regular old conversation and intimate connection has kind of fallen by the wayside. And people are really intrigued by just hearing someone tell the truth in a way that I didn't know was going to happen. And it keeps happening over and over again. Every time we do a show, I'm blown away by the impact that it has on the audience and the people who are telling the stories both.
There's also this identification that happens, and the person who's telling the story gets to feel like people identify with them, and also the audience, like they identify. And so there's this exchange that happens that you don't really have like on Facebook or even just talking to your friends. Most of us don't really tell these parts of the stories that we're encouraging people to tell, the TMI part.
What becomes, as an editorial director, what becomes too much information that is good and too much information that is bad?
Mm. Well, we try to tell people, first of all, we always tell people that we are not therapists and we're not equipped to really help them through certain things.
Although this keeps growing. Put one on the payroll.
Yeah, we thought about that. But we try to get people to, well, one thing, we don't let people talk about crimes they've committed that are unresolved. We try to get people to not talk about things that they're going through that are really, really charged. At the moment, we refer them to therapists.
Yeah.
So if there's something that people are currently in crisis about, it's not a great topic to bring to the stage.
It's too fresh.
It's too fresh. And one of the things that you need to have to be able to tell a story well is some time to reflect on it and understand what your part was in things and what is the revelation. If you're currently steeped in it, you can't have a revelation about it. So we try to pick pieces that are still important to people and still important to tell, but not something that's currently going on.
But the TMI part that is good is, you know, we want people to talk about the things that have embarrassed them or have been painful, because the people in the audience are have had those same experiences, and they want to know that they are not alone, and also the person telling the story. So it's the painful, embarrassing stuff that you usually leave out.
We have, I think, as a culture, and certainly what Eva was saying earlier about technology and blurring the lines of communication, and I certainly understand that and agree with that. However, it does seem as though with the takeoff of memoir and of autobiography, that we as an audience and we as communicators have become more comfortable with that concept of sharing intimate details of our lives.
Definitely, definitely. And I think it's a great thing. There are so many critics of the whole genre of memoir, and I just, to them, I say,
foo.
Pish posh.
Yes.
Well, we've also seen generations of people suffer from not talking about things. You know, I mean,
right.
People who've suffered from addiction, sexual abuse, things that are generally thought of as shameful, and they keep it to themselves, and it gets passed on from one generation to the next. And we've got people that we work with who say, I'm telling this story because I want my daughter to know that it's okay to talk about this if it happens to her.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that we're learning that it's important to talk about what's happening.
It's curious because I think people learn in a small petri dish, if you will, of where something will happen, which can be as traumatic as the family pet dying, and then talking to other people and realizing how emotional that can be for other people. And you say, okay, I'm not the only idiot who's crying my eyes out over this.
Exactly.
Or I'm not the only person who's ever had a panic attack, or I'm not the only person who 2 years after my mother died can't get out of bed.
Exactly.
So when you bring that out to a larger audience, it really does.
It's amazing what people
tap you on the shoulder.
What people say after the performances, I mean, people come up to the performers and say, I had the same experience. Thank you for talking about that. That's like probably the most common sentence ever, you know, said at the end of our performances is, thank you for telling that story. It's my story, too.
You know, one of the things we just did with the Community Outreach Initiative was we taught a workshop at the Mental Health Association in Kingston. And the participants there did a show at the end in the cafeteria, and it was open to the public. And
we're doing another one, right?
And it was so well attended and popular and got such great reviews that they asked us if we would do that show again so other people in the community could come. So we're doing that again on
March 14th?
March 14th at 2 p.m.
at the Mental Health Association.
But one of the things that happened at that show was people who have been diagnosed with mental illness got to tell their stories. And a woman in the audience came up to me afterwards crying and said, everyone should see this show. When my son was in his 20s, he committed suicide, and I wish he had been able to see people like this talk about what they actually went through and got to the other side before that had happened. Thank you so much for doing this. And being able to give a community of people who are often unheard the chance to be able to be heard in a powerful way was really moving. It was one of the most moving experiences for me as a director to be at that performance.
Because we so often think of stigma,
mm-hmm.
of no matter what it is.
Absolutely.
Of that somehow we will be perceived as damaged or as unable to cope or as not strong. And yet the what you ultimately understand is how forgiving isn't the right word, but understanding and supportive people are.
Well, that's why we say that, that's why our slogan is Changing the World One Story at a Time, because we want people to address those things that are stigmatized and help people see them and understand them differently so that eventually they won't be things for which people are stigmatized. That eventually people will not make fun of people for those things, that there won't be bullying about these things, because people will hear from the people who have those issues and understand them. We want to foster greater understanding among people.
Because if you put two people in a room and you have one person tell their story about something that happened in their life, the common reaction for the other person is to say, oh my God, well, what can we do? I mean, it is, most people aren't horrible, right?
Right. Even if they've done horrible things, they're right. Mostly not horrible people.
I mean, it seems like we're hardwired one-on-one to be sympathetic to those things. And yet, as a group and as a society and as a culture, we will often have these lines that say, okay, I have to act this way against this type of behavior.
Well, because when they're not talked about and people are embarrassed about them, they become even more stigmatized when they're not discussed.
Yeah.
I love seeing the kinds of friendships that come out of the TMI class. Mm. I see people connecting and having relationships with one another who I never would expect would be able to relate. I'm just thinking about in the last workshop, there's a man who's considering transitioning genders who became very good friends with a woman who just got out of jail for dealing drugs. And the likelihood of that pairing happening in the outside world is pretty slim, but they
hug each other. It'll be a fly on the wall for those conversations,
they
right?
They hug each other after every class. It's amazing.
Yeah. And when you look at what you try to achieve with this workshop that'll be coming up in Rosendale on March 15th through the 17th, as it becomes a retreat, so that's very immersive, isn't it?
It is. And this will be the third one that we'll be doing. And, you know, when we did the first one, I wondered, are we going to be able to pull this off in 2.5 days? It's a lot of opening up right away. And we do end the workshop with a performance on Sunday evening. They can invite friends and family, and they do a polished monologue.
Yeah, like a 7-minute monologue.
But what we do is we bring in some people who have gone through the workshop already, and they do their monologues to get the workshop started. And then the participants can ask any questions that they want about the process, how they got to their end result, what they went through to tell their story. And within that, they start opening up, even though it's about someone else. And by the end of Friday night, people are already telling stories. By the end of Saturday, we almost have a piece, and Sunday we just polish it up.
It's amazing how quickly the women bond, especially after hearing the stories of the prior participants. They just immediately start opening up and bond, and it's like a big slumber party.
Mm. It's a really exceptional weekend.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
And I assume that comes out of safety. It comes out of protection, that this is a place where you can do that.
We have a set of guidelines that we use to set the space up as a safe space right from the beginning. We do it with every class that we work with, regardless of which population we're working with.
Yeah, I think it really helps people to feel like they can express themselves when there are rules about how you respond and that kind of thing.
So, as we mentioned, there is a lot going on. So in order here, ultimately, because we talk about the women's retreat that's happening in Rosendale, March 15th through the 17th, ultimately, if you want to find out information about anything, you can go to tmiproject.org, tmiproject.org, and find out information about all of the events. And on March 11th, you begin the first For the Page 9-week workshop.
Yes, we're going to be publishing things now.
And that is, that's powerful as well.
It is. And it also, allows people who don't feel like getting up on a stage to share their stories. And it allows us to have a broader reach because people can buy this who can't come to the theaters we perform in.
And it also gives some writers anonymity. You know, we have some populations of people that we're going to be working with who are not in a position where they can say, this is me telling my story, because it would be dangerous. Like
right.
Women who have survived domestic violence or
sure.
Some of the boys that we're working with at the Highland Residential Center who are incarcerated, there are too many repercussions of sharing their stories. So
yeah,
That's okay. Go ahead.
We went to an LGBTQ teen workshop, and there were kids in there. There was a kid who has not been out to his parents, who's a Boy Scout, who's not out to the Boy Scouts. He wants to share his story. He can't get up on a stage and tell it because it's going to get out. So we are also going to be publishing a collection of essays from the different populations in the Community Outreach Initiative.
Well, it's wonderful work, and you can find out more information about all of the aspects of the project by going to tmiproject.org, tmiproject.org. Eva Tenuto and Sari Botten, I thank you very much for being with us and for all the great work you're doing.
Thank you so much for having us.
Great pleasure. Coming up next, the Congressional Corner, you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.